And so I am pleading with our men. This is what I'm used to, and I'm not asking you to do this, but I'm used to, every church I've ever been at, there were men that actually took their vacation to vacation Bible school to do vacation Bible school because it was so rewarding to them. And they knew how important it was. It changes kids' lives. It really does. The other thing I want to say about our vacation Bible school is there's this thing in our town that thinks that there's a community Bible school, vacation Bible school. That was done away with a couple years. So there's no community vacation Bible school. It only rotates between us and the Presbyterians, and the Presbyterians are saying, "Help!" So how can we rotate if there's no one to rotate with? And so that's why we have our vacation Bible school. We'll have it every year. But every child is welcome. A Baptist church has their own. Every child should go to that one. I encourage them to go to all vacation Bible schools. So I want to just reinforce that. There is no community Bible school. Any Bible school that a church holds, that is the community Bible school, vacation Bible school. So, and another thing is when we start crossing boundaries, as this is an important thing, as some of you, this is just a little bit of housekeeping rules here. We have what's called safe sanctuary. And we have had some situations where we've had other people from church helping our vacation Bible school that have broken safe sanctuary rules. And it's a legal thing, too. But we really, really want all kids to go to all vacation Bible schools that they possibly can. So, Bonnie, I've set it up. You can come on up. I think this microphone here will work for you if you need to.
It's structured exactly the way it was structured last year. You really loved what you did last year. You can just sign up for that again. This year it's going to be really cool because it's Maker Fun Factory. And if you're into crafting, you know that term is no longer used. We're called makers because the art world has just expanded exponentially, including everything under the sun. People think about crafting with popsicle sticks and, you know, whatever, but now crafting is done with wood and metal and laser beams and, you know, all kinds of crazy things. And so the fact that God is the original maker and that he made us all for a purpose is just very, very exciting and opens up a lot of possibilities. My mind is just reeling, as you can imagine how exciting this is gonna be. So I am gonna encourage men. I know it's difficult, but boys need a role model. They desperately need a role model. So if you haven't done it, it's really not that complicated. You can see me and I can tell you a good place where you don't have to do a lot of preparation. So, and if you've been here last year, you know that it's only a few people have to do the majority of the planning. The rest of you just kind of tag along. So it's July 17th through the 22nd from 6:30 to 8:30. I'm going to pass these around. I would love you to fill it out right now and then give them back. Just do what the Lord is prompting your heart to do, because later if you go home, you're going to say, "I don't think that was the Lord." So you need to do it today.
I
know, last year we had 90 kids and, well, 88, but I just stretched it out to 90 because that sounds better. And so like many of the kids, we had a prayer room, and that was the first time. And the amount of kids that went to that prayer room when they could have been doing some fun activities was amazing. And God just touching them in the prayer room. I'm sure we'll have that again this year. Okay, are we almost finished? Hopefully we're finished here. And if you didn't sign up today, you can always sign up some other time. You can always get a hold of Bonnie. Well, let's stand together. We're going to read the scripture from Psalm 51, just a couple short verses. Do we have them on the screen, or do we have the screen brought? We have it. Okay. It's better that we see it too, right? It sticks with us better. This is what David wrote in Psalm 51. He says, "Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You can be seated. The title of the message today is "Time to Do the Wash." I have to admit it, I hate doing laundry. And was one of my biggest fears when I went off to college is how am I going to get my laundry done? And the college that I went to didn't have a laundromat either, so we had to go to a laundromat in the city or in town. And of course, even though I had been told by my mother never put in reds with whites, I ended up with pink underwear. You know, if you put your reds in, especially a red sweatshirt, and you're in trouble. But who just loves to do laundry? I know there's some people that do, but I don't. And I know that a lot of people don't because we got to cart it all over the place. Then we got to go fold it, hang it up, put it away, only to start and do it all over again. But it's a necessity. We lived in a place where the bedrooms were on the third floor and there was a stairway that skipped the second story. There was an apartment in between us. So our bedrooms were on the third floor and so we had to go all the way up these stairs. It was like going to Siberia. There was no heat in there. And on the first floor is our living space and in the basement was where the laundry was. Now you know why I don't like to do laundry. Because we have to go from the third floor all the way down to the second floor to the first floor and then down into a rat-infested basement because we live right on the roof. We were the first house out of the ghetto. We were right on the edge of the ghetto. Somebody has to be the first house, but we were the first house in the ghetto. And so I didn't like to do laundry because I'm afraid of rats, too. And they were eating our underwear and everything. That was a very important point. Write that down. The pastor's jeans shirts were getting eaten by rats. But laundry is necessary. What if we never did our laundry? How about if we only did it once a month? I had a roommate in college, and we were only roommates one semester because he wouldn't do his laundry. He was fresh out of high school. He was a PK. That means he was a pastor's kid. And he let his laundry just lay there and smell. I mean, he would go play tennis, he'd go play basketball, he'd go play ping pong. That kid would sweat. He would just pile his laundry up, and my room smelled. And that was back before they invented Febreze. So I couldn't go spray his laundry. I tried spraying other stuff on it. I tried deodorant, hairspray, but the deodorant just made it worse. You see, we have to do our laundry. And spiritually, we have to do our laundry. We have to wash ourselves at times. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who's a great pastor and a great author of many books, said this. He said, "I fear that we're not known for our holiness." And one time, the United Methodist Church, and many people still consider us as a holiness church, and a lot of the holiness churches, church movements and denominations came out of the United Methodist Church. But Dr. Warren Wiersbe, he said, "I fear that we're no longer, or we are not known for our holiness." And he wasn't talking about Methodists, he was talking about all Christians. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher and revivalist, said, "God will not let his children sin successfully." Remember when Moses struck the rock the second time? And God punished him. And God said, "You will not be able to go into the promised land now." Wow, that seemed really harsh. Because God says what he means, and he means what he says. What he says in his word, he means. And he wants us to follow it. And so here Moses gets this horrible, horrible punishment. He can't go into the promised land because he was supposed to speak to the rock. But instead, in his own anger and his flesh, he hit the rock. God will not let his children sin successfully for very long. Well, we know that the church is full of sinners because we're here today, right? Look at the next person to you and say, "You're a sinner." You love saying that to your wife, don't you? Your husband. But guess what? Christ Jesus is washing the church. He's cleansing us through his word. That's why we're here today. We're here to do the laundry, folks. We're here today to hear the word, because the word of God washes us. Even when we just read it verbatim, it washes us. It washes our innermost being. It washes our soul. It washes our mind. It washes our spirit and makes us squeaky clean on the inside. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, it says this, "To make her holy and clean." What is he talking about? He's talking about his church. To make his church holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. There was one preacher that said this. He said, "The church may have its faults, but it's still the best thing afloat. It's like Noah's Ark. I'd rather be trapped inside with a bunch of smelly animals than outside under God's judgment." Do you agree with that? Amen. The church is God's vehicle for doing his laundry, keeping us clean and washing us. What does God want? He really wants three things from us. He wants to do his laundry. He wants to wash me. That's what David was asking in the scripture that we just read earlier. "Lord, will you wash me?" I like what it says in Revelation 9:8. It gives us this promise in Revelation 9:8. "Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Who is he talking about? He's talking about us, the church. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. The second thing that God wants from us is he wants me and you to wash ourselves. Chapter 1 and verse 16 says, "Wash yourselves and make yourself clean." The third thing that he wants is he wants me to do other people's laundry. He wants us to wash one another. We're here today to wash one another. I have gone back and forth on this, whether to share this or not, but I'm going to share it today. We've had a tragedy in our church. And if ever we need to be washing one another now, if ever we need to be praying now, and praying for the leadership of the church, it's now. We've had someone commit suicide, and I'm just going to put it out there in front of you all. That affects the whole body, especially when it happens in the office. We need to be washing one another, folks, and making sure that we are strong in the Lord. We need to be helping one another. One of the ways of washing one another is serving each other. He wants me to do other people's laundry, wash another person. What, this is a display. Remember, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples? And they're like, "What are you doing, Jesus? I mean, you just don't do this. The rabbi doesn't do this." And he was doing it as an example for us, the church today, It is a display of humility and servanthood that we should display humility to one another and servanthood to one another. It's the work of the lowliest servant. That's what he was doing. Washing feet is symbolic of our role as the body of Christ, the church. So number one today, if you're taking notes, is this. King David said, "Wash me." David's sins infected him. In that same chapter, in chapter 51 and verse 3, it infected his eyes because he said, "My sin is always before me." And here was a man who was supposed to be known as a very righteous man. In verse 10, it infected his heart because he says in verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart." And we know that the heart is the wellspring of life. In verse 11, we see that it affected his fellowship with God. He says, "Don't cast me from your presence, O God." In verse 12, we see it infected his salvation. Because he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." You see, his sin had cost him fellowship and intimacy with his God. And sin will cost us fellowship and intimacy with God. Remember, he danced in worship when they brought the ark back to where it was supposed to be. He worshiped, and he was just excited, man. He just went all spirit-filled, dancing all over the place, and his wife's going, "You're embarrassing. Don't be a fanatic. You know, what's wrong with you, David?" David just had the presence of the joy of the Lord because a victory had just been won for his team. And then we see many times that he defeated enemies, and he was just so up, and we read his writings, and he just talks about how mighty God is. But now he's at a place where he's at a rock wall in prayer. Have you ever been there? There seems to be a wall between you and God. It's like his prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Have you ever been there? It's like, "God, where are you? Can you hear me?" And you're maybe in your hurt and your pain, or you're in some kind of need, and it's just nothing happening. It's just bouncing off the ceiling. But he prays this of all things. He says, "Wash me. Wash me. Wash me." The second thing we see in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16, God says that we're to wash ourselves. "Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight and stop doing wrong." I was at someone's house one time. Bobby doesn't remember this, but there was a kid playing with a dead snake. I don't know, he's about 4 or 5. And, you know, playing with a live snake is bad enough, I think. But it was time to eat. And we all come in, and this kid starts putting his hands all over the biscuits and the rolls. And he's touching the food that we're going to eat. And there were other guests there, and they're passing around, and people are sort of looking like, "I don't know if I would want any of these biscuits or any of these rolls," until the rolls just went right around. And the lady of the house says, "Well, come on, take some rolls. Come on, I got more rolls in the kitchen, and no one's taking the rolls. And there was something else that he touched, and no one's taking. I've got plenty more of this." Put his hands all over the ham. But people had seen him playing with a dead snake. Finally, someone said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your son over here, I don't know what his name was, we'll give him the name Stevie. I'm sorry for your name Stevie today. He's been playing with that dead snake out there, and he's just touched all the food, and that's why we're not eating it." Oh boy, was she upset. She took him and says, "You go in that bathroom right now, young man, and you wash your hands. I'm going to stand here and watch you." Did anybody eat the rolls after that? No. Didn't change a thing. But he had to wash himself. And we've got to learn how to wash ourselves so that we can feel that intimacy with God. Verse 15 right before the verse I quoted to you, God says this. He says, when you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. That doesn't sound good to me. I want God to hear my prayers. God says, I'm not going to listen if you're not going to wash yourself and be clean. You see, religion was popular in Isaiah's day, but it was not from the heart. They were just going through the motions. Isaiah says, wash yourself. I remember preaching a sermon one time, and Bonnie might remember, it was many years ago, and I had a whole sermon prepared, and I got up there, and all I did was say, stop it. The Lord just gave me those two words. And I said, God knows what you're doing, and he's wanting you to stop it. So will you just stop it? And I said that a few more times, and I sat down. It was one of the best services ever, only because we got to go home early. It's because the altar's filled. And people realized that they needed to wash themselves. That God washes us, but sometimes we need to wash ourselves. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates, body and spirit, perfecting holiness, out of reverence for God. We are too casual with God. Warren Wiersbe said this also. He said, learn to hate the things that hate you. I probably told you this one before, but there was a a man who repeated his prayers a lot, repetition. And he was a prayer warrior in the church, and he would always close his prayers with, and Lord, please remove the cobwebs out of my heart. And another guy just had it, and he said, after that man prayed, and Lord, show him that spider so he can kill it. You see, sometimes we're praying prayers that God